is Appeal Number 05-2398, Zhao versus Gonzalez, and this case is submitted on the briefs. And we proceed then to the eighth case, United States versus Martins. Mr. Arucara.
Good morning, Your Honor, Councils. Good morning. Your Honor, this is a criminal appeal by a co-defendant, Yemi Odulate, against a jury conviction and a sentence. Your Honor, the grounds of appeal are pretty clear. First, the defendant maintains that the evidence was insufficient to secure the conviction. In addition, the defendant believes that the judge should have issued a multiple conspiracy instruction to the jury, even though it was asked for. The judge denied the request, and it turns out that it was an erroneous denial. And finally, the defendant filed successive post-conviction motions for a new trial for three main reasons. First, that the totality of the evidence still shows that the conviction could not be supported by the record. In addition, that there was newly discovered evidence. And finally, that clearly the government did not turn over all the Brady materials that it's clearly mandated to turn over. And, Your Honor, I'll start with the Brady materials first. It ultimately came to the attention of counsel during the post-conviction motions that the government had interviewed other people who were potential suspects in the same criminal conspiracy, as it were. The government did not disclose the identity or the fact that they did interview these people. Counsel, by his own investigation in representing the defendant, identified these people and secured extensive affidavits that showed that not only were these two gentlemen apprehended, one of them was requested to come downtown to the office of the Drug Enforcement Agency. He was interrogated by at least three agents for an extended period of time, and he saw these agents taking notes. Specifically, he was told that there was a picture of him handing a bag to the defendant, and there were latent fingerprints on that shoulder bag. And they needed him to come downtown and take his fingerprints to determine if indeed those were his prints on the bag. None of this was ever disclosed to the defendant.
How does that exonerate Mr. Odulate?
Odulate.
Yes.
Well, Your Honor, the vast majority of this case is circumstantial. And part of it was that if indeed there was a bag that contained heroin in the possession of the government, and the theory was that Mr. Lasisi handed that back to Mr. Odulate. If it turns out that that is not the case, then it doesn't match the government's theory. What the government tries to prove was that on each occasion, Stevens went back to Odulate to procure drugs, and there was never, of all the five transactions, any surveillance or any information that specifically put Odulate and Stevens exchanging drugs. So it would have been inconsistent with the government's theory to know that there was a bag of drugs, which is part of this conspiracy, but did not have either Odulate's fingerprints or Lasisi's fingerprint on it. That would clearly have exonerated Odulate. And that would be something that the jury would have considered in the totality of the evidence, and more than likely could have led to a totally different verdict, especially when looking at the totality of the circumstances. It was pretty clear that the government never had Odulate exchanging drugs with anybody, either in surveillance or either by searching his residence or searching the supposed additional residence he had, and there were no drugs there. At best, what they found were apple baggies and a lot of paraphernalia that seems to suggest that there had been exchange or sale of marijuana, which really was what Stevens said was the fundamental nature of his relationship with Odulate. They smoked up together, he sold them marijuana, and Odulate has consistently maintained that the theory here is that I do not dispute that I was buying marijuana from Stevens. And whenever I spoke with anybody, it was because we wanted to come together, buy marijuana, and would smoke it up together. And that seems to resonate throughout all the evidence in this case. Now, Your Honor, what else that does is that it limits essentially what the potential defense could be. Essentially what you've done is you've tied the hands of counsel for the defense coming into a criminal trial. And the only time that counsel has the opportunity to even review and possibly determine what a real strategy would have been is after conviction, essentially when hindsight really is 20/20. So based on that, we believe that the case should have been retried. The defense should have had the opportunity to explore, including call as a witness, these other people who had been interrogated, and at least should have had the opportunity to examine or cross-examine the agents who participated in the interrogation of these additional individuals. And, Your Honor, then there was also the issue of the co-defendant who swore to an affidavit saying, I never had any drug transaction with Odulate. I never took drugs there. I never took drugs away from there. But yes, we did have conversations about marijuana. Every now and then we would come together as a group to buy marijuana together. And the judge agreed that of the four-prong test of whether this is exculpatory or not, three of those tests had been surpassed. That yes, this is new evidence. There would be no way to compel the testimony of a co-defendant in the same trial. And yes, this is germane, it is material, and it could have affected the results of the trial. But the judge said, well, looking at that, he now put himself in the position of the jury by saying that even at that, I do not think that that could have made a difference to the jurors, which was really a decision that should have been made by the jurors. And finally, the totality of the evidence shows that there were five transactions. In each of these five transactions, there was never a time where Odulate was seen exchanging drugs with Stevens. Yet there were times when Stevens was seen to have gone to a different location and had met with different people and come back to give the cooperating source the heroin. And it is pretty clear from that there was no question about the fact that Odulate should have been retried. And the fact that the government never proved this one large conspiracy that included the movement of drugs from Africa into the United States, it's very indicative of the fact that there was really no conspiracy that involved Odulate. Your Honor, I'd reserve my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. McGovern.
May it please the Court. Patrick McGovern for the United States. Your Honors, the evidence, quite frankly, was overwhelming in this case. Contrary to the appellant's argument, there were hand-to-hand deals observed by surveillance agents. The evidence also consisted of a cooperating witness who pled guilty and agreed to testify against Mr. Odulate. And during his testimony, he testified that each of those deals, which, again, were surveyed by agents, involved heroin and not marijuana, as the appellant would argue. For that reason, Your Honor, the district court was correct in denying the defendant's post-trial motions. There was a single conspiracy here, and it had a common objective, and that objective was to distribute heroin. The district court correctly found and analogized the heroin conspiracy to a vertical integration structure in that Mr. Odulate obtained his heroin from his co-defendant, Mr. Mark Martins, and that heroin ultimately originated in Nigeria. It was imported to Chicago through the use of couriers. One such courier was co-defendant Theodore Fabrique. Ultimately, that heroin was distributed from Mr. Martins to Mr. Odulate to Mr. Stevens, and during the course of the undercover deals to a cooperating individual. For those reasons, Your Honor, it's the government's position that the evidence was simply overwhelming against Mr. Odulate. And one other thing that I would like to mention is, in addition to the surveillance of the deals, was also undercover recordings, a Title III recordings between Mr. Odulate and Mr. Martins in November of 2002. Mr. Odulate and Mr. Martinez are heard discussing heroin deals. They're speaking in code, and they're also speaking in the Yoruba language. That was additional evidence that the government presented at trial. Quite frankly, again, Your Honor, the evidence was overwhelming here. As far as the alleged Brady violations, the Martinez affidavit that was submitted post-trial, again, Mr. Martinez was a co-defendant, was rightly rejected by Judge Cannelli. It was obviously self-serving, and Judge Cannelli did review the four-part test for such an affidavit. He found that Mr. Martinez's affidavit would not have been convincing before a jury, and he would have been obviously subject to cross-examination with regards to his bias with respect to what he said in the affidavit. And finally, with respect to the Lasisi claim about the photo, that this alleged photo that was out there, as we state in our brief, the case agent, William Wise from DEA, submitted an affidavit and saying that there was no photo, that he did not make this statement to Mr. Lasisi about the photo or about fingerprints, and Judge Cannelli ultimately credited Agent Wise's affidavit. And if there are no other questions, government would simply ask that this court affirm the conviction of Mr. Odulate. Thank you.
Okay. Any further? 3 minutes.
Your Honor, first, I'd like to say that Mr. Wise's, Agent Wise's affidavit, which is attached as Exhibit 1 in the exhibit, government's Exhibit A in the defendant's opening brief, is completely not responsive to the issues that were raised by Mr. Lasisi. Mr. Lasisi said that he was told that the government has a picture of him handing a bag to Odulate. Mr. Agent Wise testifies that there is no evidence of Odulate handing a bag to Lasisi. That was not the issue. And this was identified to the judge that this is completely not responsive. Now, government's counsel indicates that they had the testimony of a cooperating witness or cooperating witnesses. Cooperating witness who said he would say anything just to lighten his own sentence, including name everybody in the phone book. A cooperating witness, two cooperating witnesses who in their plea agreements testified, spoke from personal knowledge that they knew Stevens and knew Odulate. But when they got on the stand, said never, had no idea who Stevens was, had no idea who Odulate was, never met him, but yet in their plea agreement said they knew them from personal knowledge and that the government was going to be able to prove that. Then came up on the stand, witnesses for the government testifying that they knew neither of those two people. That's the nature of the testimony they had from the cooperating witnesses. And then, yes, there was surveillance, but the record is pretty clear that in all of the surveillance, there is only one time that Mr. Odulate is sighted anywhere close where a drug transaction was occurring. Now, would his mere presence be sufficient testimony or sufficient evidence to prove that he's guilty of a conspiracy? I don't think so. Ironically, in the same incident where he was seen, they had clear indications from the cooperating source to follow a certain vehicle. It turns out that that vehicle went to a suburban location, and there was no determination that it was Mr. Odulate or not in that vehicle. That was the one time that he was seen around and close to any of the drug transactions. Now, Mr. Martinez's affidavit is not self-serving. He's admitting that he has engaged in illegal conduct, but he's also testifying that the charges are not what he has engaged in. So that is not self-serving at all. And he wasn't seeking any deal with the government at that time. But the recordings between Mr. Martinez and Odulate speak about a whole one, let's get one, maybe 100. The testimony and the record is pretty clear that this could be just about anything. A whole one describes 1 pound of marijuana. And that's the nature of the conversation Mr. Martinez and Mr. Odulate were having. They don't deny that they were. As a matter of fact, Mr. Martinez's affidavit says that, yes, we were discussing marijuana. And that is supported by the transcripts of the tape recording. And to say that the tape recording occurred in Yoruba, there is no expert to determine what the grammatical explanations or the contextual determination of what they were discussing was in Yoruba. All they said was that, yes, the tape according to Yoruba. Your Honor, based on this, we believe that the government has not established that this, the evidence supported the conviction. And even if they had, the factors that have occurred after the trial of this case are significant enough for this court to remand the case to be retried. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This case will be taken under advisement. We should note that